Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Bidder Information webcast. My name is Benjamin Chi. I'm with NERA Economic Consulting. NERA is the procurement administrator on behalf of the Illinois Power Agency. Presenting with me today is Dr. Chantal Lacasse, also with NERA. Today's webcast is specifically focused on the Block Energy and Capacity RFP, also known as the BEC RFP. A couple of housekeeping items as we get started here. The procurement event is again for Block Energy and Capacity Resources, and they are for the three Illinois utilities. And we'll use some of the short names throughout this presentation, and the logos are presented here on this slide at the bottom. We will use AIC for the Ameren Illinois Company, ComEd for the Commonwealth Edison Company, and MEC, or Mid-American, for the Mid-American Energy Company. Throughout this presentation, you may ask your questions. We will answer them at the end of this presentation. To submit your questions, simply locate the Q&A on the right side of your screen, select All Panelists in the Ask box, type in your question, and click Send to submit your question. If you have specific questions related to slides, please also include any relevant slide references. This presentation, as well as any responses to questions, will be posted to the website. We have a procurement website that is dedicated for the IPA procurement event, and the website address is provided here, www.ipa-energyrfp.com. One disclaimer as we start off this presentation. So the entire process is a process that has been approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission, and the governing documents certainly for this event, for the BEC RFP, you can find them on the procurement website. They include the RFP that will be posted today, as well as the contract documents that were posted yesterday, March 13. And you will bear the full responsibility for reviewing as well as understanding the written documents. Any statements that we make on this call and that are provided on these slides that describe or refer to the RFP or the contract documents are summaries only, and they are qualified in their entirety by a reference to these documents. For today's agenda, we will walk you through and provide you a very high-level overview of the process as well as the products. We will then delve deeper into describe what we are after, the specific products that we are after when we tell you that this is a procurement for Block Energy and Capacity Resources. What do we mean? And we'll do that by way of describing the terms of the standard contracts. We will then move in the second half of this presentation to talk about the more practical aspects of your participation here. We will walk you through the process in terms of the deadlines, the key events, requirements, and then we will talk about the bid as well as the post-bid process. So in terms of an overview, this process started in the fall of last year when the Illinois Power Agency filed its procurement plan, which was subsequently approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission with modifications late in December last year. The procurement plan itself includes various procurement events, and for purposes of this webcast, just take note that it includes the procurement of Block Energy and Capacity Resources under a BEC RFP to be held this spring. With that, I will also mention a couple of things. First, the IPA has filed both the electricity procurement plan as well as the long-term renewable resources procurement plan. if you are a renewables participant that are looking to sell your RECs, this is not the event for that. This procurement is focused on firm energy requirements that must be scheduled in PJM or MISO, and also focused on capacity resources known as zonal resource credits that must be transferred to Ameren Illinois for this purpose. So this is not a procurement for intermittent renewable resources or renewable energy credits, but simply a procurement for block energy and capacity credits. So as I have said, this RFP features the block and capacity products. I will provide at a very high level what we're after here and then go into more details about some of these product characteristics. So there are four procurement events in all, and the under this RFP, we have three procurement events for energy products for each of the companies, Ameren Illinois Company, ComEd, and MEC. And the requirement is for fixed blocks of energy to be delivered to the utilities load zone. There is going to be a delivery point that you must schedule your energy quantities to. These are for on-peak and off-peak energy in monthly periods, and the supply period that we are looking at runs from June 1, 2018 through May 31st, 2021. And again, these are for monthly blocks that will be a dimension of the product characteristics. So the other thing to note is that not all of the months will have quantities. For example, for Mid-American Energy Company, we're not procuring any quantities for the out year running from June 2020 through May 2021. And then we have another procurement event under this RFP that is for the procurement of capacity resources, and more specifically for zonal resource credits, ZRCs, as the term is defined by MISO for Ameren Illinois Company. And for these ZRCs, we are looking for ZRCs that are applicable to the planning year 2019-2020, and not for the upcoming planning year. ZRCs can be from all zones, and bidders are to take note that if you are providing ZRCs that are sourced outside of the compliance zone of AIC, which is Zone 4, then payments will be subject to an adjustment under the terms of the contract. And with that, I will flesh out a few things here on the capacity product before I talk more about the energy product. So a ZRC is known as a zonal resource credit, as the term is defined by MISO, represents 1 megawatt of unforced capacity for a given planning year, as long as it meets the ZRC definition and requirements under MISO, it is eligible to be submitted as a bid in this RFP. It may, as in years past, include those ZRCs that are generated from demand response resources as well as load modifying resources. So this is not different from how we are procuring ZRCs in years prior. The ZRCs themselves must be transferred to Ameren Illinois account using what MISO calls the Module E capacity tracking tool by the delivery deadline, as the term is used in the contract. And as I have said earlier, Ameren Illinois compliance zone is Zone 4. It's called the Local Resource Zone, or LRZ. And if you're bidding to provide ZRCs from Zone 4, then what you'll be paid is the price that you have bid into this RFP. For all other ZRCs that are from outside Zone 4, then payment will be adjusted based on the auction clearing price of the source zone relative to the compliance zone. In terms of energy products, we are procuring energy blocks for AIC, ComEd, and MEC separately. Each of these companies will have its own target, and a product will have three dimensions. The first dimension is the delivery of your energy to a company, whether it is AIC, ComEd, or MEC. It will have a segment, which is either on-peak or off-peak hours, and it will have a time dimension, which is a particular month during the period between June 1st, 2018 to May 31st, 2021. And the block is defined as a quantity of energy that is denominated by 25 megawatts. And in the RFP rules that you will see, will have these targets, and the target for each month during the supply period that we are after, at this time provisional only. We will provide or confirm the final quantities no later than the part two date, which is April 4th. So for the energy procurement events, you may bid on products. As I said, we'll have those three dimensions: a company, a segment, and a month during the supply period that we are interested to procure energy blocks. But you may also bid on combinations. And combinations are basically packages of products. So the dimensions do not change for the products, but we're just packaging different products together to form a combination. So, for example, you could have a January-Feb as a combination, March-April, the 2 months together as a combination, July-August as a combination, or you could also look at an annual combination that runs from June of a year through May of a subsequent year. It will still continue to have the dimensions of a company, as well as whether it is for on-peak or off-peak segments, but it's only in time dimension. Instead of having monthly products, we're just combining the months into combinations that allows you to bid in those combinations. And the number of blocks available in a combination is simply the minimum number of blocks available in the months that make up that combination. So to fix ideas, here on this slide, we provide you in the top part of the slide a table for hypothetical purposes, the targets, and then at the bottom of this slide, a table that shows how it translates from the blocks of a product to the blocks of the combinations. So here, as I said, each product will have three elements or dimensions. The first is a company. In this case, we are showing the example from ComEd. It will have a segment, whether it is on-peak or off-peak, and then it will have a time dimension, which is which month of the delivery period we're looking at. So in this case, to show how it translates from product to combinations, you will see we have, for example, in the information that is blocked out, we have the product for on-peak in the months of January 2019 and February 2019, 32 blocks thereafter for January 2019 and 31 blocks for February 2019. These are on-peak blocks for on-peak hours to be delivered to the ComEd zone. And At the bottom, we have a combination that is for the GEM January-February 2019 as a package, and for that combination, for on-peak hours, we're looking at a total of 31 blocks, which is the minimum of the two monthly products. In terms of the application process is relatively simple, and the main takeaway on this slide is an online process. So just take note, there is going to be a two-part process, but the first step really is for you to get an online application account. To the extent that you have not done so already, we ask that you request that online account from us, and with that, you will receive and return login credentials that you will be allowed then to provide information and your qualification materials online. The Part 1 proposal window runs from tomorrow, March 15, through noon on March 22nd, which is the Part 1 date. All materials are due to us by the Part 1 date. As I said, all information is provided online. You'll be able to use the online Part 1 form to enter information, as well as to upload what we call inserts. Inserts are these standalone documents that you can download from us on our website, which will require you to complete, and in some cases you will have to print, sign, scan, and then upload back to the online portal. The online site will also allow you to upload required supporting documents. In some cases, like your financials, could be uploaded through the online application website. The only thing that is required of you that is not done online is our receipt of your bid participation fee, which I will talk about on the next few slides, and that gets sent directly to the IPA. Once you are qualified as a bidder, you may then provide your Part 2 proposal, the second part of this step, which will principally look very much like the Part 1 process, in the sense that it's going to be done online. There will be inserts that you will have to complete, print, sign, scan, and upload back to the application website, and the only thing that will be required of you in the Part 2 proposal that will be separate is your pre-bid letter of credit. So the Part 2 proposal window starts March 28, and it will run through the Part 2 date on April 4th. We must be in receipt of your information by noon on April 4th, which is the Part 2 date. The capacity and the energy bid dates are separate. They are 1 week apart, and the receipt of your pre-bid letter of credit will be 1 week apart as well. So for the energy pre-bid letters of credit, you will send your pre-bid letters of credit directly to each of the utility that you are interested to provide a proposal, and that has to be in receipt by the utilities by April 4th. For the capacity product, for which is only applicable to Ameren Illinois Company, AIC must be in receipt of your pre-bid letter of credit for the capacity product by April 11th. In terms of bid submission, it's done electronically. Once you are qualified as a bidder, we will provide to you an Excel spreadsheet with some of the information locked down that we provided to you with your Part 1 notification. And it will also allow you to not only fill in the required bid information using the spreadsheet electronically, but we have electronic file transfer interface for you to upload and transfer your spreadsheet to us. The one thing we note is that this transfer interface is a new interface, and you are strongly encouraged to participate in the practice session that we have set up for this purpose so that you can practice the bid submission procedures with us in advance of the bid date. In terms of the bid evaluation, there will be a benchmark that is applicable for both the energy and the capacity products. The benchmark is developed using a confidential methodology in consultation with the procurement monitor and filed with the Illinois Commerce Commission. Only bids that meet or meet the benchmarks will be considered, and the evaluation itself will identify the least cost package of the bids. So here on this slide, I will talk about the fees that are associated with your participation in this process. There are two types of fees for the to cover the cost of administering these procurement events. So the first is what we call a bid participation fee, and the second is what we call a supplier fee. I'll talk about the bid participation fee first. So the bid participation fee is just a flat amount of $500 to be paid by all bidders that are participating in ITA procurement events in 2018. This is a one-time fee that applies to all procurement events under the IPA procurement plans in this year, 2018. If you have paid it before in 2018, you don't need to do so again. If you are participating in the BEC RFP, and this is your first procurement event in 2018, this will be required of you. This is required to be paid to the IPA directly, and this is due to the IPA by the Part 1 date. The second type of fee is known as the supplier fee. The supplier fee is not paid by all bidders. It's paid by winning bidders only. And this is due to the IPA within 7 business days of the ICC decision. At this time, we are providing estimates of the supplier fee, for which we will provide a confirmation of these estimates or a final supplier fee by the Part 2 date, which is April 4th. And the estimates are provided here for information purposes only. They are $136 per on-peak block that you win, $91 per off-peak block that you win, and $60 per ZRCs that you are awarded through this process. Again, this is only applicable to winning bidders and not all bidders. For a complete set of instructions for how you pay the bid participation fee as well as the supplier fee, we ask that you email us your request for information. And you can send your email to illinois-rfp@nira.com. I will now talk about the supplier contracts. These are contracts that were posted on Tuesday, March 13. There is a separate contract for each of the procurement events. For the energy, we have a separate energy contract for AIC, COMET, and MEC. And for the capacity product, it's a separate contract from the energy contract. These contracts are standard. They have been subject to a common process. They are non-negotiable at this time, and you must accept the terms of the applicable supplier contract prior to submitting your bid in this RFP. The applicable supplier contract itself will be executed after the ICC decision. And at this time, you can find all of the contract documents online, and the contracts used in this spring 2018 BEC RFP are substantially the same as those that were used in 2017. We have updated them mainly with administrative updates as well as some clarifications and corrections for typos. But besides that, the risk allocation and the terms remain the same as that which we have used in 2017. I'll talk about the energy contracts first before I talk about the capacity contract. The energy contracts that are used for AIC and MEC are very similar, and I'll talk about this here on these two slides first before I talk about the COMET energy contract. So for AIC and MEC and for the energy contract, this is based on the industry standard EEI Master Power Purchase and Sale Agreement, which we have appended as part of the contract documents as Exhibit C. And we have also incorporated into this agreement known as the Confirmation Agreement, the EEI Collateral Annex as Exhibit D, and paragraph 10 to the EEI Collateral Annex as Exhibit E. With the confirmation agreement, which is what we call this long-form agreement, we have also included the form of guarantee as Exhibit A, as well as schedules that allows you to make certain modifications that are acceptable at this time to the form of guarantee. The standard form of the performance assurance or post-bid letter of credit, and there are a couple of options there, as well as letters of full transfer tied to this letter of credit, they are provided at this time as Exhibit B to the confirmation agreement. The bulk of the terms in terms of the delivery obligations as well as the payment terms, they're all specified in the front part of the confirmation agreement, the front part of the main body of the agreement. The confirmation agreement up front, in the main body, will also modify some of the terms, the standard terms of the EEI Master Power Purchase and Sale Agreement, as well as some of the credit terms and the elections that are made in the to the credit terms. So you'll find that all in the front part of the confirmation agreement. In terms of the product itself, the transaction, what we are seeking here in this RFP, this is for physical delivery, and this will require you to schedule your energy to the day-ahead market in MISO. And I have provided here in the second bullet the CP note for both AIC and MEC. There's going to be scheduling requirements that are fairly strict under the terms of the agreement. For each delivery month, you must work with the applicable utility, either AIC or MEC, to enter and approve all your day-ahead and real-time financial scheduling entries into the MISO portal. And you must do so no later than 10 business days prior to the start of the delivery month. And the details of the transaction itself, all the pricing details, as well as the volume details of your reward will be included in Table 1 of the main body of the confirmation agreement. The confirmation agreement itself will also include the applicable references to the Illinois Public Utilities Act, including references that deals with the confidentiality provisions that you'll find in the Public Utilities Act. In terms of the credit terms, the best and easiest way for me to explain this is exposure under all of these energy agreements, including for COMET, as you'll see later, are all based on a mark-to-market calculation methodology. And how it works is that each of these three utilities or companies will offer to you, the seller, an unsecured credit based on your credit worthiness or your guarantor's credit worthiness, meaning the credit ratings as well as tangible net worth that are used to determine the unsecured credit line. If you are relying on the creditworthiness of a guarantor, you must have a guarantee in place that is accepted by the company, applicable company, before unsecured credit can be granted. any exposure that is above and beyond the unsecured credit line that is granted to you, the seller, will then need to be met by cash or a standard post-bid or performance assurance letter of credit. The standard letter of credit, as well as the form of guarantee, as I have mentioned earlier, have been appended to the confirmation agreement itself as exhibits. So you'll find them as Exhibit A and Exhibit B to the confirmation agreement. Collateral requirements or credit requirements apply only to you as the seller, and no bilateral credit requirements are envisaged under this RFP or the terms of the contract. In terms of the ComEd Energy contract, I'm not going to spend too much time to talk about the terms here. They are fairly similar in terms of its substance, but the structure is a little different. So for the ComEd Master Agreement, this is based on the industry standard EI Master Agreement as well. And the bulk of the changes are encapsulated in what we call the cover sheet, which is the front part of the EI Master. We are using the EI Master Power Purchase and Sale Agreement cover sheet. The cover sheet is the front part of the agreement that includes all of the modifications to the standard EI Master Agreement, as well as the collateral annex requirements and the paragraph 10 elections. The collateral annex is a separate document. Paragraph 10 to the collateral annex is a separate document, and appended to the collateral annex are the credit instruments, the post-bid letter of credit, the letter of full transfer, the form of guarantee, as well as a description of the mark-to-market calculation methodology. All of your pricing and quantity details, unlike for EIC and MEC, which is provided in a table within the confirmation agreement, here we will provide all that detail in a separate confirmation sheet that is tied to the EEI master, and the confirmation sheet is a separate document. We have provided a sample of how it's being filled out online for you to review. This is, again, for physical delivery, and the scheduling requirements are such that it must be scheduled to the ComEd residual aggregate load zone to the day-ahead PJM market. This is not in MISO. This is in PJM. And you must schedule your contract quantities using the PJM in-schedule platform. You must do so 4 weeks in advance of the delivery month, and ComEd as buyer will confirm the schedule 3 weeks in advance of the delivery month. And as I said earlier, all of the details for your award will be provided in a separate document known as a confirmation sheet to the EI master. For the credit terms, it works almost synonymous or identical to how it works for AIC and MEC. The mark-to-market methodology is provided as Schedule 3 to the collateral annex as a separate document. And for this year, one change is we have accommodated the guarantee to be a single guarantee that may be applied to multiple supply contracts that you may have with ComEd. So you have to take a look at the new structure of the guarantee. In terms of the substance, it works the same, but we have now allowed the structure to be more flexible, so that one guarantee may be applicable to multiple contracts. We'll talk now about the capacity contract. The capacity for the capacity product here, to be very clear, only AIC will be the buyer. There is only one procurement event for the procurement of capacity resources, and this is only for Ameren Illinois Company. The contract itself is also called the confirmation agreement, and attached to that are three attachments. We have a description of the performance assurance requirements as attachment A, and then we have as attachment B and C the credit instruments, the form of guarantee as well as the standard form of the letters of credit. For the transaction terms, this is for physical delivery of your ZRCs, your zonal resource credits, that must be transferred and delivered to Ameren Illinois. And it must be delivered to Ameren Illinois' account using the MISO module e-capacity tracking tool. You must transfer your ZRCs by the later of 5 business days prior to the FRAP submission deadline, or when the module e-capacity tracking tool becomes available for you to transfer your ZRCs. And just want to highlight and remind you again, we are after ZRCs that are applicable to the planning year 2019-2020, not this upcoming planning year. So all this transfer will likely take place in the spring of 2019. And in terms of the transaction details, will be encapsulated in Table A of the confirmation agreement. And I will close off this section of the capacity contract with a couple of notes on credit requirements as well as on the ZRCs. So the ZRCs themselves can be sourced from any MISO zones, but if they are not in the compliance LRZ, the local resource zone, which is zone 4 for Ameren Illinois, then the payment will be subject to adjustments under the contract. Otherwise, if it is all ZRC 4 or zone 4 ZRCs, then the contract price will simply be your bid price without further adjustments. For those of you that are wanting to supply ZRCs from outside of zone 4, just take note that the final payment will be determined only after the planning resource auction has occurred and has concluded at MISO, that is expected to occur in the spring of next year, when the auction clearing prices from all zones are known, and therefore the payment adjustment amount can be determined, which will be based on the source zone auction clearing price relative to the compliance zone auction clearing price as determined by MISO. A timeline of events are provided here. This April, we will conduct our bid date to lock down the contract price that will be set based on the winning bids. The planning year, again, that we are after is for the 2019-2020 planning year. So the delivery deadline for when you are to deliver your ZRCs to Ameren Illinois will be sometime expected in the March of next year. Again, the delivery deadline is 5 business days prior to the FRAP submission deadline or when the Module E capacity tracking tool becomes available. Then you will have to wait for the PRA to occur at MISO that is expected at this time to conclude in April of 2019. It is only then that the auction clearing price or auction clearing prices for all zones will be known, and the adjusted planning year total can be determined based on the auction clearing prices of the source zone relative to the compliance zone. And it is also then we can determine in the affirmative whether it is a buyer that will pay seller, or if it will be the case where seller will be paying buyer for the ZRCs that are being transferred. In terms of the payments, payments will be done on a monthly basis. On this slide, as we close off this section, we'll talk about payments adjustments very quickly. So first and foremost, if you are planning to transfer ZRCs from Zone 4, the compliance zone, then no payment adjustments is required. You'll just be paid your bid price. So this slide only applies to ZRCs that are sourced outside of the compliance zone. So there are a couple of scenarios here. So first, if you have bid into this RFP and all your bids have a characteristic where the compliance zone auction clearing price as determined by the MISO PRA is smaller or of lesser price than the source zone, zone 4's auction clearing price at the PRA, then it will always be the case that your payment will be adjusted upwards, meaning that the adjustment will add payment from buyer to seller. This is always the case. And then we have two other scenarios where if it is the opposite, where the compliance zone auction clearing price is greater than the source zone ACP, then it depends on how big the adjustment is. If the adjustment is greater than the payment that is envisaged based on your bid price, then the adjustment may result in you, the seller, not only transferring your ZRCs to buyer, but also paying buyer during the term of the contract. So just take note of this. And I know we're running at a very high level through these examples and these scenarios. We will provide an FAQ on our website that will provide some numbers so that you can to help you fix ideas and be able to help you understand these scenarios better. In terms of the credit requirements, the for the credit terms related to the capacity product, the exposure under the contract is simply 10% of the contract value, which is basically you take 10% times your bid price times 365 days. That is the basic requirement that is due from day one, the effective date of the contract. After the MISO PRA has occurred, once it is determined what the payment adjustments will be, then the exposure will be reflected accordingly. And if it is the case where you as a seller, you're required to pay buyer after adjusting for the auction clearing price that is determined by MISO, then the exposure is simply the amount that you owe buyer. In terms of how this works, for the unsecured credit line, this will be based on the credit worthiness, meaning the credit rating and the tangible net worth of either the bidder or the guarantor, if you have one. And to be granted unsecured credit, you will have to have an acceptable guarantee in place with Amron Illinois. And there is no bilateral credit envisaged under this product either, and the credit requirements will apply only to seller but not to buyer. And with that, I will now turn the time over to Dr. Lacasse, who will talk about the RFP process and requirements. Dr. Lacasse.
Thank you, Mr. Chi. Some of the content of this section we've seen at a high level in the first part of the presentation, so I'll go quickly on those items. But this section is really to provide additional details on the process and the requirements of the proposal. And we start just by the calendar. We mentioned that the proposal is in two parts, the Part 1 proposal and the Part 2 proposal, and the window to start submitting your materials for the Part 1 proposal is tomorrow. So tomorrow the Part 1 window opens. The window is fairly short, so it's 1 week to submit your materials, the deadline being on March 22nd, the Part 1 date. And that's also when the bid participation fee, which is one of the required elements of the Part 1 proposal, is due. We'll provide a notification to you to let you know whether your Part 1 proposal was successful on March 27th. And there's a number of important documents that are included in that Part 1 notification and that I'll speak of in a few slides. If you are successful, you're invited to provide your Part 2 proposal, and the window for submission of those materials is the next day, March 28th, with the deadline, the final Part 2 date, 1 week later on April 4th. The schedule for the procurement event up to that point is concurrent for all the procurement events for the energy product and the capacity product, but it starts to deviate with the Part 2 date. All the participants in all procurement events provide their materials in the Part 2 form with their supporting materials by April 4th, but there are two different dates for the submission of financial guarantees for the bids, the pre-bid letter of credit, which is due for energy on April 4th as well, but there's a week more for the pre-bid letter of credit for the capacity product, given that the bid date is a week later. So the bids, the final portion of the proposal, is due April 9th for the energy procurement events and April 16th for the capacity procurement event. On this schedule, we're also flagging the bidder training on April 5th, so the day after the Part 2 date, given there is a new interface, a new secure bid transfer interface, and that we encourage everyone to participate in the bidder training to practice all aspects of the bid submission procedures. So on this slide, we highlight a few elements that we've already largely covered. So as I was saying, the schedule for the four procurement events, the three procurement events for energy products for the three companies or utilities, and the one procurement event for capacity for Ameren Illinois. The schedules are largely concurrent, but there are two bid dates, one bid date for energy, and a week later, the bid date for the capacity product. On the bid date for the energy product, there's also two concurrent windows, so there are three delivery periods, and the deadline to submit the bid form for the last two delivery periods of 2019-2020 and 2020-2021 closes at 10 a.m. All the times that I'm going to mention are central prevailing time, while the window for the instant 2018-2019 delivery period closes an hour later at 11 a.m. central. And of course, the bid forms for those two are going to be separate, are going to be provided to bidders separately along with the Part 1 notification. So while I'm talking about highlights of the process for this spring RFP, I'll mention quickly three things that I'll be touching on and that we've talked a little bit about already. First, with the documents that will be posted today, there will be targets for each of the months for the number of blocks that are being procured in the energy procurement events. And those targets are provisional. They're going to be updated at the Part 1 notification stage, and they will be final at the Part 2 date. So just to highlight that for you, so that's the number of blocks that would be required for each month, each segment, and each company. There's also going to be combination that you can bid on, which are groups of those products or month segment for a company. And there's going to be combinations that are common to all three companies, and there's going to be potentially additional combination for Mid-American. And finally, as I mentioned, there's a new secure bid transfer system, and we mentioned that already, so the training is particularly important for this upcoming RFP. In terms of the information I mentioned, we were going to post the final documents. Those are going to be posted to the website, ipa-energyrfp.com. There is a navigation bar on the left-hand side that has several sections, and in particular, the spring block energy and capacity section. So if you click on that link, on the left-hand side bar, you will get to a page that has the final documents that we were discussing. So everything that you may want in terms of documents, the final RFP documents, letters of credit, other appendices to the RFP documents, responses to bidder questions, et cetera, are all found through this website. So it is your central source of information. It's also how you can register for an account. We've mentioned that the submission of the proposal is done online, and the first step is to register for an account. And you can do that by clicking on the qualification forms link on the left-hand navigation bar, and that will get you to a page where you will see that if you don't have an account yet, you can register to get one. You'll be asked for a number of pieces of information, the company name, the contact information for an individual as well. And once you have provided that, then we will give you login credentials, meaning the username and password for access to the portal for submission online of your proposal. Now, two notes on this. You can register for an account in the manner I've just described, or alternatively, you can send the required information to us via email at illinois-rfp@nira.com, namely the company name, the full name of a contact with contact information, phone number, alternate phone number, as well as an email address. And previously qualified bidders will receive their login credentials and their specific information for navigating the application portal from the procurement administrator, so you do not need, if you are previously qualified, to register again. In the next few slides, I'll describe how to submit the proposal and what kind of requirements are in each part of the proposal. The part one proposal first. In that part of the proposal, you will be providing basic information such as contact information. There's a number of certifications that the officer of the bidder will make, and you will provide financial information, so financial statements as well as credit rating, either for yourself or for another entity if you're relying on the financial standing of another entity, such as a guarantor. I mentioned previously qualified bidder a moment ago. By that I mean bidders that successfully completed the Part 1 proposal in either 2016 or 2017 in the similar RFP, either called the Standard Products RFP or the Block Energy and Capacity RFP. So for those bidders, you will receive your login credentials from us without having to re-register, and you're also eligible to participate in an abbreviated Part 1 process, meaning that some of the information that you provided to us before will remain on the portal for the submission of the proposal, so that if it remains up to date, you do not need to submit it again. In terms of what you'll be providing, you'll be providing information by filling in the fields of the online Part 1 form, by uploading supporting documents, so financial statements, for example, but also uploading inserts. So we talked about that already. Those are separate Word forms by and large. Some of these are for you to complete and sign, in which case you would have to scan and then upload the PDF back into the online form. So that's very most often what will be required when you have an insert to fill out. One exception that I'd like to flag is the contract insert, so the information for preparation of the contract should your bid be selected and then approved by the commission, and that contract insert should be submitted in Word. And finally, the Part 1 proposal also includes the payment of the bid participation fee to the IPA, and if you want complete instructions, please email us for those instructions. So next few slides, I'm just going to go into a little bit more of the details of each portion of the Part 1 proposal. So we talked about contact information. Of course, that includes the name and the address of the entity that will be the bidder, but also of a number of individuals that are involved in the preparation of the proposal. First is the officer of the bidder, and the officer of the bidder is an individual that is empowered to undertake contracts and to bind the bidder. That individual will sign all the certifications and all the representations of both the Part 1 proposal and the Part 2 proposal. If you're worried that that individual may not be available both in the window for the Part 1 proposal submission and the window for the Part 2 proposal submission, you should know that there is an option available to submit the certification of the Part 2 proposal and the Part 1 proposal at the same time during the Part 1 window. The officer of the bidder also designates a representative, and the information for the representative is submitted through the online Part 1 form. That individual serves as contact for purposes of presentation of the proposal, as do the nominees. So the nominees are designated by either the representative or the officer of the bidder, and their contact information is provided through an insert, the nominee insert. For purposes of communication from the procurement administrator to the bidder, all communications are sent to the representative and all the nominees, and that's what we will commonly call the bidder team. And there's up to three nominees that can be named, so up to four individuals who will be copied on all communications from the procurement administrator. So I've already started talking about specific inserts, so the nominee inserts, for example. All of the inserts are numbered with the proposal, the portion of the proposal for which they are required, so P1 for the Part 1 proposal, and -2 meaning the second insert. I'm talking about the nominee insert here, the second insert, the first insert being the representative insert, which is the insert by which the officer of the bidder designates the representative. The bid participation fee we've discussed already is $500 and paid by all bidders once in a given year for the 2018 procurement events. So to the extent, for example, that you are going to be participating in, let's say, the procurement events for energy products in the spring, but also in the fall, then you will pay this bid participation fee once in the spring, but not in the fall. There are two methods of payments, by check and by e-pay. And to answer a common question right away, the IPA cannot accept wire transfers. So those are really the only two methods of payment, and we can provide full set of instructions by email, and you can email us at illinois-rfp@nira.com. In terms of financial requirements, you will first name the entity on whose financial standing you are relying. That can either be the bidder itself, or it can be another party, such as a guarantor. If you're previously qualified, that information will be in the form, so pre-populated, left over, if you will, from the last time that you filled in the online Part 1 form, and you can either confirm or change that particular election. For the entity on whose financial standing you're relying, so either yourself or the guarantor, you will then provide financial information, namely the credit ratings for the entity and the final financial statements. Financial statements, even if you've previously qualified, you will be required to provide that information. So on each slide where I'm going to go through requirements for the Part 1, there is a column on the right-hand side of the slide that notes for you which requirements the previously qualified bidder can rely on information that had been previously provided in a prior procurement event. There are also requirements that are specific to each procurement event. So in particular, there are company-specific requirements for energy products. So there's going to be separate section where you will first elect in the forum whether you are intending to bid on the energy products for that company, Ameren Illinois, ComEd, or Mid-American Energy Company. For each of those sections, if you do say that you intend to bid on the energy products for that company, you will be asked to provide information to prepare the applicable supplier contract documents. And there's a separate insert for each company while you will provide the information that would be used to populate the contracts, which will be prepared by each company, should you have a winning bid that is accepted by the commission and approved by the commission. So for each of these contract inserts where you will provide the information to prepare the applicable supplier contract, each of these must be provided as a Word document, as I've mentioned previously. There's also going to be representations for each of the procurement events separately for energy products, and those representation and certification must be signed by the officer of the bidder, and there's going to be a separate insert for each company for those representations. There's also an optional opportunity to provide comments on the Ameren Illinois post-bid letter of credit, and there is an insert that you will use to do that, and there is an insert where it will be flagged which portion of the post-bid letter of credit have changed, and you can provide comments on those portions of the Ameren Illinois post-bid letter of credit that have changed since the last time the contract was issued. There's only a comment insert and a process to provide comments for the Ameren Illinois Energy post-bid letter of credit and not for the other credit instruments, as the other credit instruments have not changed, or rather, any changes there have been administrative updates only. So for the fourth procurement event, so for the Ameren Illinois capacity product, really the same process. If you are intending to bid on the capacity product, you will be asked for information to prepare the AIC capacity agreement. There's going to be representations that the officer of the bidder must make that are specific to that procurement event, and optionally, there is an opportunity to provide comments on the AIC capacity post-bid letter of credit, and there's a separate comment insert for that purpose. There's additional requirements that I'm not speaking to in detail, but that are certainly provided in detail in the RFP rules in terms of additional requirements for bidders that are in special circumstances. So, for example, bidders that are submitting a proposal under an agency agreement, there are additional requirements for that. So just flagging it here, and you will see a note on the slides for the requirement noting that there are special circumstances where the requirements are not provided in detail here, but they are provided in detail in the RFP rules, and they will be part of the Part 1 form as well. So already mentioned for the contract insert that you'll be asked to provide all necessary information to prepare the contracts in the as part of the Part 1 proposal. The applicable supplier contract documents are prepared by the company for bidders when those bidders have bids that are identified as winning bids, and they become supplier once the commission has approved the bids that have been identified by the procurement administrator. Now, we say bidders are asked to provide this information. If you choose not to provide this information, you still have something to fill out, as you will be required to acknowledge that the information to prepare the contract will be required by noon on the day after you are notified by the procurement administrator that you have bids that are identified as winning bids. So that's an overview of the requirement of the Part 1 proposal. In terms of the process, you will be providing that information through the submission portal, and your Part 1 proposal will be evaluated once you click Submit. So you'll be in a form, you will fill in the fields, you will upload the required documents, and once you click Submit, then we will evaluate your Part 1 proposal. While we do that, so that we have a stable set of documents and information to evaluate, you will be temporarily locked out of your account. We will then issue a notice to you that will either say that your Part 1 proposal is complete, that is, we have received all information that we require from you, or we will note that there are deficiencies, so there are either missing items or there are clarifications that are needed. If deficiencies are noted, so if you do receive a deficiency notice from us, then you will have generally one business day or until the Part 1 date to respond to a first request for additional information. That notification will come to the entire bidder team, so to the representative and the nominees. And if you submit your Part 1 materials before noon on a day during the Part 1 window, then we will provide our notice, our complete notice, or a deficiency notice to you on that same day. If you provide your materials for the Part 1 proposal in the afternoon, then we will provide the complete notice or the deficiency notice by noon on the next business day. So ultimately, the notification that you are successful in your Part 1 proposal comes with the Part 1 notification, and I'll talk a little bit on this slide about what that Part 1 notification includes. So the Part 1 notification is on the 27th of March. So it includes various documents that are important for the submission of the Part 2 proposal. So first of all, it will have a set of instructions for filling out the bid forms and for uploading those bid forms to the new secure bid transfer site. To access the secure bid transfer site, you will also need a username and password that will be provided to you in the Part 1 notification, as well as a security code that allows us to identify you and to verify your bids. You also get an invitation to the training session on the bid submission procedure. That's what we call the bidder training in the calendar. That's on April 5th. And you will get the bid forms themselves. We will also provide with the Part 1 notification updated targets, both for energy and capacity. And for the energy products, we will provide the amounts of the pre-bid letter of credit that will be sufficient for you to bid on all blocks for a given company. So although the targets may perhaps change a little bit before they are finalized on the Part 2 date, with the Part 1 notification, we will provide, if you want, a maximum to the amount of the pre-bid letter credit that would be sufficient for you to bid on all blocks for a given company. All the materials for the Part 1 notification are provided to bidders through a secure electronic file transfer, and you will be required to acknowledge that the confidential information that's required to bid, meaning the username, password, and security code that you will use for bid submission, you will have to acknowledge that you have received that information and you have maintained the integrity of that information. So that's for the Part 1 proposal. Once you have the notification, if you are notified that you have been successful and you receive all the documents for submission of Part 2 proposal, you're ready for the submission of Part 2 proposal, and the window opens the next day on March 28th. Now, the Part 2 proposal is generally, because it's a bit more complicated than that, but generally due in two packages, by which we mean the Part 2 proposal includes the information in the online Part 2 form and supporting documents. And the Part 2 proposal also includes the bids. So it's really doing two packages, generally speaking, what is submitted on the Part 2 date, which for energy products is going to be the materials in the online form, the supporting document, and the letters of credit, and then later the bids. It's a bit more complicated than that because for the fourth procurement event for capacity, the pre-bid letter of credit is due a week later, as we said, and the bids are due a week after the energy bid, so April 16th for capacity, April 9th for energy. As for the Part 1 proposal, you will provide information by filling in fields in the online Part 2 form. There's going to be various inserts that can be uploaded, including for providing the certifications that will be signed by the officer of the bidder. You will also be submitting financial guarantees in the form of an executed pre-bid letter of credit for each procurement event in which you intend to bid. And finally, as we mentioned, the bids are part of the Part 2 proposal, and for bidders in special circumstances, or bidders that are submitting a proposal under an agency agreement, or bidders that have a foreign guarantor and that intend to bid on the ComEd energy products, then there are additional requirements for such bidders. So there's various dates here, the Part 2 date. Everyone bidding on any of the procurement events must submit the materials in the Part 2 form and supporting documents. Then the pre-bid letters of credit are due for energy products on the same day, for capacity products a week later, and finally the bids on the two bid dates that we mentioned already. In terms of the certification, there's a number of certifications to be made, including that the submitted bids are going to be binding, and I'm only naming a few here, that if a bidder has winning bids that are approved by the commission, then the bidder will execute the applicable supplier contract without modification, and also that the bidder is taking all necessary care to uphold the confidentiality of the proposal. Now, bidders that have retained an advisor to assist them with bidding strategy or estimation of the value of the product will be required to name that advisor in the Part 2 proposals, and such bidders will have additional representation that are required in this regard, again, to make sure that all necessary care is taken to uphold the confidentiality of the proposals. There are various certification inserts that are prepared for the purpose of presenting those representation in your proposal, one for each of the procurement events, and an additional insert for bidders that name an advisor in the Part 2 proposal. So a key requirement of the Part 2 proposal is to provide an executed pre-bid letter of credit for each of the procurement events. So that pre-bid letter of credit must be in the form of the standard pre-bid letter of credit, and those are appendices to the RFP rules, or a bidder may also use any of the modifications that have been approved by a company for that pre-bid letter credit, and the list of such modifications are also going to be posted to the website. Now, of note that it's really a pre-bid letter credit for each procurement event, so it means that a bidder that submits a proposal for both Ameren Illinois' energy products procurement event and the capacity procurement event must submit two separate pre-bid letters of credit to Ameren. Those pre-bid letters of credit are sent directly to each of the companies. The expiration dates are part of the terms of the letters of credit, and they are different for energy and capacity because they are keyed off the bid date and the date of the commission decision. In the Part 2 proposal, bidders may provide special instructions for the return of the pre-bid letter of credit. Otherwise, the letters of credit expire as part of their term. In terms of amount, we've already mentioned that in the Part 1 notification, we'll provide a maximum, meaning an amount for which that's the amount of your letter of credit for a procurement event. It will allow you to bid for the energy products on all blocks for that particular company. There are also minimum amounts for the letter of credit, which is $250,000 for Ameren Illinois and for ComEd, and $25,000 for MidAmerican. And otherwise, the pre-bid letter of credit should be in an amount of $5,000 per block of the indicative quantity. The indicative quantity is a number of blocks that you will provide in your Part 2 proposal, and it's the most blocks that you intend to bid across all segments and all months for a given company. So all the items I've been talking about right now are for energy products, and they're distinct for each company. So the indicative quantity is one indicative quantity for each company. The pre-bid letter of credit is also for each company. There's also going to be a minimum for the pre-bid letter of credit and a maximum that allows you to bid on all blocks. That's also for each company or each procurement event for the energy products. For the capacity pre-bid letter of credit, it's not a function of the amount bid. It's a flat amount, and it's $200,000 regardless of the amount that you plan to bid. In terms of bid submission, you mentioned that the bid form is that will be provided to you with the Part 1 notification, and which may be potentially reissued later on, but the bid form that's provided to you by the procurement administrator is the exclusive method for submission of your bids. The bid form, once they are duly filled out, and will provide instructions to help you in that regard with the Part 1 notification. The bid forms must be submitted to the procurement administrator through the secure bid transfer system, the new interface that we have mentioned already earlier in the presentation. Once you do submit your bid form, then we will confirm receipt of the bid form by phone, generally within 15 minutes of submission. The step-by-step guide that will talk about all the steps from the submission to the receipt, confirmation of receipt, and assessment by the procurement administrator of your bid form is provided with the Part 1 notification. There is a backup method if there is a problem with the secure bid transfer system, or if you have a problem accessing the system, and that method will be by email. And you do submit by email, we do encourage you to encrypt your bid form, and the process for that is also provided in the guide for the bid submission provided with the Part 1 notification. I mentioned that there are overlapping bid windows, so that's for the energy products where the bid date is April 9th. And there are overlapping bid windows where the bid window for the two later delivery years, 2019-20 and 2020-21, is from 8:30 a.m. Central Prevailing Time to 10 a.m., while the bid window for the earlier delivery period, 2018-19, starts also at 8:30 but closes an hour later at 11 a.m. For the capacity products, the bids must be received 1 week later on April 16th, and the bid window is simply from 10 a.m. to noon Central Prevailing Time. After the bid date, on the bid date, even though this says post-bid process, on the bid date, we aim to notify bidders by 6 p.m. whether they have bids that are identified as winning bids, whether there will be any bids that we identify to the Commission as winning bids in our report. So we say aim to notify here because that's certainly the objective and our goal, and we would certainly notify you earlier if practicable, but it could be later than 6 p.m. on the bid date, as circumstances warrant. If you are so notified and you did not provide your contract inserts with your Part 1 proposal for preparation of the applicable supplier contract, then you will have until noon the day after you are notified to provide that contract insert. Each of the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor submits a confidential report to the Illinois Commerce Commission on the results of the procurement event, which is 2 business days after the bid date, so for the energy product, April 11th for the energy procurement event, and the next day for the capacity procurement event. And the commission will decide whether to accept or reject the results of each procurement event 2 business days after receipt of the confidential report by the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor, so April 13th for energy and 19th for the capacity procurement event. If the commission does accept the result of the procurement events, then each company will send electronically to bidders partially executed contract documents. So we said that the companies prepare the contract documents, but there is one difference amongst the companies in that the ComEd prepares the guarantee for winning bidders that rely on the financial standing of a guarantor. And that's why you will see in the contract inserts potential elections for acceptable modifications to the guarantee, while for Ameren Illinois and MidAmerican, if a bidder relies on the financial standing of a guarantor, the bidder or its guarantor would prepare their own guarantee and submit executed guarantee for electronic receipt by the company. So once a bidder has received those partially executed contract documents, the bidder can countersign and send back those contract documents electronically. A reminder that winning bidders have to pay the supplier fee to the IPA, and that supplier fee is due 7 business days after a decision by the commission to accept the result of the procurement event. And if you do not pay, then the pre-bid letter of credit may be drawn upon in that case. All right, so I'll talk a little bit in the slides that follow about the bids and also provide a few screenshots of the bid forms so that you know what to expect. In terms of the bid forms, there are also illustrative bid forms that are provided as appendices to the RFP rules if you want to look at it in more detail. So I'll talk about the energy procurement events first. So a bid, and we mentioned this earlier in the presentation, is a price in dollar per megawatt hour for a block of a product or a block of a combination, and that means for a particular segment on peak or off peak, for a particular month, for a combination of months, and for a particular company. So reminders that there are a specific combination that will be grouping of months on which you can bid for all companies, and there will be also some combinations potentially that you can bid on, some grouping of months that will be specific to MidAmerican. So a bidder can bid on any number of products and can bid on all products. And the bidder can also bid on any number of combinations, can bid on all combinations. You can also bid on a product and on a combination that includes this product. So in the example that you have here, the bidder is submitting a bid for January and February 2019 and also providing a bid for February 2019 alone. So there's no preclusion against that particular bid. So in addition to providing the bids, so the prices themselves for particular products or particular combination, as part of your bid for the energy procurement event, you can also specify a maximum willingness to supply. You can, so you're not required to. The maximum willingness to supply is a maximum number of blocks that a bidder wants to bid for a particular segment, a particular month, for a particular company. So if you do not specify anything here, you will be basically assigned a default maximum willing supply, and that will be assumed to be the target, so the number of available blocks for that segment or month and company, or the number of blocks that you actually bid for that segment and month across all products and combinations that include that segment and month, whichever is smaller. So that's the default maximum supply. You can, you may, but you're not required to specify a maximum supply that would override that default. And you would do that when you want to specify a maximum willingness to supply that is smaller than the default. So let me just give a quick example. So let's say there are 30 blocks is the number of available blocks or target for both July and August in a particular year, and that you have put bids on 10 blocks of July and 10 blocks of August, and also 10 blocks of the combination of July and August. So potentially you could win up to 20 blocks in July and 20 blocks in August. If you don't want that, so you've submitted bids on individual months, individual products, you've submitted bids on combinations that are grouping of those same individual products, but you only want to win a maximum of 15 blocks in July, then you can specify that. And it means that of the 10 blocks that you bid for July alone and the 10 blocks you bid for the combination, then only 15 of those can ever be selected in a combination as winning bids. So the energy bid forms that you will be provided for submission of your bids have different tabs. The first tab is a tab where you will provide your information. So that's the information for the individual with a phone number that the procurement administrator should phone and contact to confirm receipt of the bid form and to provide the evaluation of the bid form. That tab will also have general information about the products that are available, and that tab will also include a certification that has to be filled out for the bid form to be complete. There are additional tabs, and there's going to be one such tab for each segment, meaning on-peak and off-peak, each delivery period, one of the three delivery periods, and each company. And for each of these tabs, there's going to be columns with the products, so the months for that particular segment and company. And to the right of the columns with the individual products are the combinations where you will be able to submit bids for particular grouping of months. So there's two steps to the evaluation. So first, the bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. So a reminder that the benchmarks are confidential, the methodology is confidential, it's set ahead of time and approved by the commission, and neither the methodology nor the levels of the benchmarks are provided to bidders. The second step for the bids that do meet or beat the benchmark is to select a package that yields the lowest average cost per megawatt hour for each company, for each segment and year, with the package, if possible, filling all of the blocks needed for that particular company. So I'll talk now a little bit about the capacity bids and the bid form. So bidders may bid on ZRCs from any zone, as we mentioned, although there is differences in the potential payment to the seller depending on the zone for which ZRCs are being bid. So bidders will indicate three things. For a given price, a bidder will indicate a quantity quantity of ERCs that are bid at that price, as well as the source zone for the ERCs. You can bid on any number of ERCs not to exceed the target number. So this is just to illustrate then a bid, if you think about it, in terms of the bid form will be a particular row with a bid in dollars per megawatt day, the number of ZRCs to which that bid price applies, and the source zone for those ZRCs. The bid form is organized in the same way. There's a first tab where you will be providing information and, importantly, the contact information for the individual that the procurement administrator will phone to confirm receipt of the bid form, one, and two, to provide the evaluation of the bid form. And then there's going to be an additional tab for the bid entry itself, so the bid price, the ZRC quantity, and the source zone. If ever there's not enough rows, you can submit multiple bid forms for that procurement event. The bid evaluation procedures is the same, namely, first, the bids that fail to meet or beat the benchmark are eliminated, and the second step is the selection of the lowest price bids. And this concludes the presentation portion of this webcast.